Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure the people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear load truck drivers out there, all my bus drivers riding around and getting it, making sure the people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well, all my UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure the people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my local mailmen, mail women out there that are making sure the people getting their packages and mail in a safe and timely fashion as well. Shout out to all my local funeral home workers and, of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, we got a lot to get into this morning. Obviously, we are going to kick things off with the Falcons because we got some really good news on the Falcons injury front that we got to get into. Raheem Morris speaking to Dukes and Bell yesterday along and spoke to the media, and had Zach Robinson, Jeff Ulbrich, and others speak to the media yesterday as well. We'll let you hear from some of them in just a little bit later on in the show. But we will get to the injury news here in just a minute. We got to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Man, oh, man, not getting off to a good start. I was in the building, and I took in that entire game and started off all right. But then bad third quarter, fourth quarter. Didn't get off to a great start in the fourth quarter either. And, yeah, it was really just a bad third quarter that got the Hawks last night. But they lose their opening game at home to the Raptors, 138-118, and that was – not what we wanted to see from an Atlanta Hawks team we're really excited about. But it's game one of 82, so don't want to overreact. But Hawks definitely got a lot of things to clean up. There's no doubt about that. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We'll get some NFL headlines as well. But first, as I mentioned, got to start with the Atlanta Hawks. And let's start with some good news coming out of Flowery Branch. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Almost said the Hawks, with the Hawks just on my brain. But how about the Atlanta Falcons designating swing tackle Storm Norton? They designated him to return from IR. So Storm Norton is on his way back from injury. And so that is really good news for the Atlanta Falcons, as Elijah Wilkinson has been solid. Didn't have a great game last game against the 49ers, but he's been solid. But they do now have another option, or will soon have another option when it comes to one Storm Norton. So, again, really good news for the Atlanta Falcons. And I honestly, at this point, I have to think that when Storm is ready to come back, they'll probably slide him into that right tackle spot. But we'll see. I think it depends on what Elijah Wilkinson does Sunday against the Dolphins, too. So we'll see. But Storm Norton, again, been designated return to practice. Head coach Raheem Morris announced that yesterday during his, again, week eight press conference that he held yesterday. And then, obviously, Storm Norton, he's been on injury reserve due to an ankle injury since the Falcons' initial roster came out back on August 26th. He and defensive lineman Taquan Graham took the team's two allotted injury reserve spots with designation to return. And obviously, that allows a player to return later on in the year. But Storm Norton has now, the Falcons now, I should say, have 21 days to activate Norton to the 53-man roster, and or he will automatically be placed on season-ending IR. So, again, they're gonna activate him sooner rather than later. They won't even take the full 21 days to do that. But, again, do have now 21 days to activate Norton to the 53-man roster, or he automatically, like I said, will be placed on season-ending injury reserve. Norton suffered the early injury back in training camp, missed the first open practice on August 1st. It wasn't until August 20th that a report came out stating that Norton underwent ankle surgery. Remember, we were kind of left in the dark. We was like, where's Storm Norton? What's going on with Storm Norton? And we finally got that news and learned he was going to be expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. And last week marked that 8 weeks. So, again, he's been right on schedule. And obviously, again, Falcons been without Caleb McGarry all season long. And Storm Norton all season long up to this point. And now looking to get him back. So, good stuff for the Falcons there. And again, Elijah Wilkinson has been, he's been all right. He's been okay. Again, definitely had a tough game last week against the 49ers, but for the most part has done what he's needed to do for the Atlanta Falcons. And again, I suspect when Storm Norton is ready that they're going to probably put him in that right tackle spot. But we'll see. Maybe depending on, again, how Elijah Wilkinson plays until that point where Storm Norton is ready to come back, then we'll see. They maybe with the chemistry and the continuity, who knows? Maybe they keep Elijah Wilkinson in there, but I would like to think they're probably going to throw Storm Norton back in that starting right tackle spot when he's ready to go. So other news coming out of Flowery Branch yesterday, as again Zach Robinson and others spoke to the media, Michael Penix Jr. and Raheem Morris as well. As far as injury concerns, everything's good. Michael Penix Jr. was a limited participant in practice, but he was asked if he's going to play, and he said, yeah, he has all intentions of playing. So I know that was maybe a little bit of news, but, and again, it is newsworthy that he was limited in practice for sure, but I have no doubts that Michael Penix Jr. is going to play. He says he's going to play. So he said also he feels good right now at the end of the game. He did get up a little slow, but he said he's feeling fine. And here's the Falcons did not practice yesterday, just as a heads up. They did not practice, but this is a practice report as an estimate. So if they did practice yesterday, this is how things would have been listed out. But the Falcons did not practice yesterday. But if they did, this is how the injury report would look like. Full participants, Jordan Fuller, Storm Norton. Limited participants, Darnell Mooney with a hamstring injury still. Michael Penix Jr. with a knee injury. I know we were all like, was it ankle, bone bruise? We didn't know what was going on, but they are listing as a knee injury. Tyler Algier would have been a limited participant as well with a hip and knee injury. Mike Ford would have been limited with a calf. Jake Matthews limited with an ankle. Zach Harrison limited with a knee. And guys that did not participate, Divine Diablo, obviously we know about him. He has been, we know he's going to miss some time with that forearm fracture. Jalen Walker would have also not participated. That's kind of big because remember, Jalen Walker missed last game. So that is, you know, you don't want to be missing out Jalen Walker for too long, but didn't participate yesterday. Neither did Billy Bowman. So a couple of rookies you definitely be wanting to look back and have against the Dolphins would be Jalen Walker and Billy Bowman for sure. But we'll see if we end up getting those guys back. Again, I think they can obviously beat the Dolphins without Jalen Walker and Billy Bowman, but it would still be nice to have those guys back. But we'll see if the Falcons elect to maybe try and get them some extra rest and sneak them an extra week of rest if they can. But that would have been that's the estimated injury report, as, again, the Falcons did not practice yesterday. So that is what it is. And obviously, like we said, we talked about yesterday, Raheem Morris, we knew he was going to be asked about Ray McLeod and his release. And Raheem Morris said that McLeod's release and Hilliard's firing have nothing to do with one another. And he said, you know, he wished both those guys the best, loved both those guys as far as being human in character. And he also did say that Ray McLeod's release was performance-based. It wasn't anything else. It was based on performance. So, look, I don't know if he just wasn't doing what was asked. I don't know. Again, I can't begin to speculate. And I don't know what the real story is there. Eventually, maybe it'll come out. But Raheem Morris did say yesterday that it was performance-based. So I don't know as far as what's going on with Ray McLeod. All I know is he has been released, and we'll see what that means for the Falcons moving forward as far as bringing another receiver. I would like to see a guy like, you know, Tyler Lockett was just released as he asked for a release from the Tennessee Titans, and they released him. So Tyler Lockett would be a nice guy to bring in, but again, we talked about it yesterday on the morning shift. Bijan Robinson, over the last two games, has been kind of filling that Ray McLeod role, and they could use this opportunity to try and get Bijan the ball more. So maybe they don't necessarily feel the need to bring in another guy if they're just going to have Bijan in maybe on some receiving routes where they would usually want Ray McLeod in. So it'll be interesting to see, but no telling right now what their plan is as far as to fill the void that Ray McLeod's release has now created. So we'll find out on that as we move on. Some other things I do want to get into before we go to break. We do got Thursday night football tonight. It is the Hometown Take, by the way, with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. And speaking of Thursday, like I said, Thursday night football tonight between the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings will be taking on, I had it in front of me, the Minnesota Vikings tonight are going to be taking on the Chargers. The Chargers are going to be wearing those nice throwbacks tonight, not those yellow minion jerseys that they had, uniforms they had on last week, but the old school navy throwback unis, those are going to be nice. Those are going to be nice to see on Thursday night football. Carson Wentz is going to start again for the Minnesota Vikings. If they're going to bring J.J. McCarthy back, I would have to think that happens after this kind of like mini bye week that you get after playing on Thursday night. I would have to think it's got to be after that, because it seems like he is very close, and maybe this is that last week. Because I would have to think they're going to bring him back. I mean, I don't think this is Carson Wentz's job. Now, Carson Wentz hasn't played bad, but I don't think he's done well enough to take the job, at least in my opinion. So I would have to think J.J. McCarthy is close, and maybe after this mini bye week that J.J. McCarthy is going to be ready to come back, because he's seeming like he's close. I mean, I think I saw last week that he was dressed out, and, you know, I guess just in case, but we'll see what ends up happening on the front of J.J. McCarthy. But Vikings, Chargers, I think I like the Chargers in this one tonight. I think I like that Chargers defense to get after Carson Wentz a little bit. And Carson Wentz, again, you know, when he goes up against a solid defense, prone to turn the ball over, make some bad mistakes, make some errant throws. And we saw that against Philly, and I think we might see the same thing against the Chargers tonight. Speaking of which, a couple other quick NFL things that we'll get more into later on in the show, but I do want to quickly mention Jaden Daniels going to be out again. Marcus Mariota is going to be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Jaden Daniels out again with a low-grade hamstring strain. Has missed a couple of games already this season. Remember, he missed the game against the Falcons. And then the NFL is also moving their Pro Bowl events to Super Bowl week. So some quick little NFL nuggets that we will be diving a little bit more heavier into later on in the show. But when we come back, we will fully talk about the Hawks. And that just honestly kind of It was frustrating, and it just kind of took, unfortunately, kind of took the wind out of the sails. We were all excited about getting the Hawks back. But just not what you wanted to see from a Hawks team that has some heavier expectations coming into this season, and not a good way to start off the season. But again, it was only 182, so we aren't going to overreact. But I'm going to let you know what I saw and what I thought the problem was, at least for last night, when it comes to the Hawks and Raptors. We'll break down open tonight, recap it all when we come back here on Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Your first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate you joining me this morning, 5:22 on a Thursday. Appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, make sure you find the radio station. Search for 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow it, subscribe to the station, and then follow and subscribe to all the shows after you do that as well. Because once you do that, once you follow and subscribe to all the great shows here on 92.9 The Game, my show, obviously, the Hometown Take, the Morning Shift, the Steakhouse, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, Chris Thomas Tonight, all the great shows on the weekend as well. Sam and Greg, College Football Game Time, all of them. Follow them, subscribe to them, because once you do that, then you're really in the game, because then you'll get live push notifications about when shows go live. You'll get live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll get live push notifications about when new audio and articles are uploaded to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their full entirety. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite segments and interviews from your favorite shows. You'll be able to do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So, again, make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Also need to tell you that Sports Radio 99 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta this Saturday at 8 a.m. I was just telling you about this show, College Football Game Time. Just mentioned it, where they're getting the games, they're getting the day started with College Football Game Time. It's brought to you by Window Nation. Visit WindowNation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more is where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all of the big matchups. That's this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with College Football Game Time. All right, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Unfortunately, they lose to the Raptors last night, 138-118, and really the Raptors beat the Hawks at their own game. What do I mean by that? Last year, and obviously it's something they want to do this year too, but last year, if you remember, the Hawks, Quinn Snyder, I should say, always preached, after you make a basket or after your opponent makes a basket, go, run, and try to catch them in transition, meaning going from offense to defense. The Raptors killed the Hawks doing that last night. After the Hawks would make a bucket, the Raptors were gone. I mean, flying down the floor. And kudos to them. They were just out-hustling the Hawks in that transition, because they got way too many easy buckets off of Hawks-made baskets. Way too many easy buckets, and they just did a good job of pushing the ball down the floor with Scottie Barnes, Brandon Ingram, and others, and they just got way too many easy buckets off of Hawks-made basket. And You had a really bad third quarter, the Hawks did, and you couldn't buy a bucket in the third quarter. They shot awful in the third quarter, and then you couldn't get any stops either. The refs, I will say this too, the refs didn't help the Hawks out at all much because they were calling some really weak calls. So that was obviously annoying, but it was not the main reason the Hawks lost that game last night at all. Again, they were the Raptors beat the Hawks at their own game, and they were killing the Hawks in transition. So the Hawks have to make sure that they are getting back and getting back with the quickness on defense. Now, a lot of teams aren't going to want to play as fast as the Raptors played last night, but when you are having those teams that played as fast as the Raptors did, you got to make sure you're getting back, because the Hawks, again, gave up way too many easy buckets in transition. Raptors, I mean, just look, 34-11 when you talk about fast break points. And now some of that is off the Hawks' misses too, and just a true fast break, but some of that is off of a made basket. So it's just, it wasn't good enough for the Hawks. The Raptors also killed the Hawks in the paint, but a lot of that is because they were getting to the paint, because they're getting easy layups, because they were beating the Hawks in transition. 86-56 was the differential for the points in the paint in favor of the Raptors. So again, just not good for the Hawks as far as transition defense goes. But there were some positives. Again, that was the main negative, was the transition defense, and that was really the reason why you lost. Again, Raptors just were out hustling you down the court. Once you got a basket, the Raptors were just hustling and bustling down the court to try and catch you in transition, and they did. They were successful at that a lot of the time. So that was the main negative. You didn't shoot very well. That was also a negative, but again, the Raptors didn't shoot that great from three at least either. You shot 28.6% from three. Raptors shot 24% from three. Now the Raptors got a lot more easy buckets, and see during the first half when the game was close, the Hawks were a lot better about one, not giving up those points in transition, making the Raptors work for it a little bit more. Now the Raptors are making some good shots in the first half. I will say that. Brandon Ingram, Scottie Barnes were doing a good job of getting to their spots and knocking down shots, especially Brandon Ingram getting to that low post position and just knocking down shots, looking, I'll be honest, looking very KD-esque. Brandon Ingram was last night, and he finished the game with 16 points, 7-16 from the field, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. And yes, Brandon Ingram is on the Raptors. You might have forgotten he got traded to the Raptors during the trade deadline last season. RJ Barrett, also a guy who was very good at getting to his spots, putting up a good little floater, working in the kind of the mid-post, low-post game. He had 25 points. Scottie Barnes with 22. Jakob Poeltl had 14. Emmanuel Quickley with 13. How about Grady Dick with 21 points off the bench? And then Jamal Sheed had 10 points as well. So, again, you just got, honestly, like I said, beat at your own game, where you could not get a stop, and you were not very good in transition in that game. Jalen Johnson looked good, especially when he put his head down and going to the basket. Man, it is hard to stop Jalen Johnson. When he wants to get it to the rim, I mean, he gets to the rim at will. 22 points for Jalen last night, 7-13 from the field. Was 0-2 from three. Again, not the best shooter from three last night was definitely Kristaps Porzingis. He went 4-for-7. Reese Richey was okay. He was 2-for-6. But KP was definitely the bright spot, I think, out of all that. Jalen Johnson was good too. Jalen Johnson and KP were definitely shined the brightest last night as far as the Hawks' bright spots. Johnson, Jalen, like I said, 22 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds for Jalen, 7-13 from the field. 7-13 from the field for Reese Richey as well, 16 points, 2-6 from 3. Kristaps Porzingis, he looked pretty darn good last night. Not going to lie, looked pretty darn good. 20 points for KP. He had 2 assists, 7 rebounds, 4-7 from 3, 5-12 from the field. Also had a couple of blocks as well. That was good to see. So he was looking like a really nice rim protector, and all around he played very, very well. I liked his rim protection. Again, rebounding was solid, and the three-pointer was on point for KP last night. So I liked what I saw to Kristaps Porzingis for sure. Trae Young could never really quite get it going as far as his shot. 22 points, 5-14 from the field, 1-7 from three. Did a good job getting to the free throw line. Dyson Daniels, he didn't he wasn't too involved offensively last night, but did a good job playing defense still. Had three steals, only 4 points though, three rebounds. He was 2 of 4 for three, so that's why I say he didn't get a lot of shots off last night, Dyson Daniels. He ended up with 5 fouls too, so Dyson was playing that hard defense. And Yuka Kongu, I almost forgot about him. He was a really bright spot too, coming off the bench. I'm telling you, being able to have the combination of Kristaps Porzingis and Onyeka Okongwu, that is great for the Hawks, because Onyeka coming off the bench, giving you what he gives you off the bench, hustle, good rebounding, he was a monster on the offensive glass. 18.6 rebounds for Onyeka, 8 of 12, just a nice touch around the rim. So Onyeka was very solid last night as well. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he couldn't buy a bucket last night. I mean, he had some open looks, and he just could not hit. Did end up with 10 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. 1 of 5 from 3, though. 2 of 15 from the field. He just could not buy a bucket. He had some looks. He had some floaters. He had some threes that were solid looks, but he just could not buy a bucket. So definitely a tough night for Nas. So, again, for the Hawks, it was just a combination of not being able to make shots in the third quarter versus, and in the third quarter, they really pushed it down the court as far as, like I said, as soon as the Hawks made a basket, they were in transition quickly, pushing it down the court, trying to beat the Hawks down the court and seeing if they could get easy buckets in transition as the Hawks were going from offense to defense. And you got to give credit to the Raptors. They did a really good job at that, and the Hawks are going to have to be better. Again, when you go up against these teams that want to play fast like that, the Hawks are going to have to be more aware, making sure they're getting back quickly on defense, because the Raptors definitely got them good in transition. So, look, don't want to overreact. It was game one of 82. The Hawks also did look very sloppy at the beginning on offense as far as just mishandling the ball. Like, they lost a lot of balls trying to, dribble and, handling a couple of errant passes, a couple of miscommunications. So you can tell guys are still trying to gel with each other a little bit. So, again, that's going to take some time. You do have some a few new pieces that you are incorporating into the team. So that's going to take some time. But it was very much sloppy in the first quarter and kind of the first half too. Again, they tightened up pretty well in the second quarter. And then, Raptors, I felt like I hustled them in transition in the third quarter. And then by the time you got to the fourth quarter, the game was just about over. So, again, main thing is you need to make sure you are not allowing those easy points in transition after you make a bucket, and they'll clean it up on offense. Defense in the half court actually wasn't bad. Again, Brandon Ingram was doing a good job of getting to his spots, and he's tough to stop. RJ Barrett, a good player as well. He did a good job getting to his spots. So I'm not overly concerned with the half court defense. I thought the half court defense was pretty solid. Transition defense, again, needs a lot of work. And offensively, I think they'll be fine. Again, guys just couldn't make shots. Nikhil Alexander-Walker couldn't make a shot. Luke Kennard had a couple of good looks towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter. He had a tough time knocking down shots too. So that will all be fine. So the Hawks, all in all, again, they'll be all right. They'll be good. They'll be fine. But just definitely some things they got to clean up as far as game one. But you're not going to be playing your best basketball in October anyway. So it's all good. No need to panic, but definitely obvious things that need to be cleaned up for the Atlanta Hawks. But they'll be back in action tomorrow as they take on the Orlando Magic in Orlando. So we'll see if they can get their first win of the season tomorrow. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we will let you hear a little bit from Raheem Morris, Michael Penix Jr., Zach Robinson, as they spoke to the media, as we'll continue to get you ready for Falcons-Dolphins. That's coming up next year on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to work, already at work. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. I appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Also, do need to tell you that... Well, I had a message for you, but I lost it. I will deliver the message to you here in just a second, but I appreciate you tuning in here on a Thursday, 542. Here's the message that I need to give to you. Want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause? Of course you do. Sports Radio 92.9, the game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 929thegame.com and click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going quickly. That's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. So make sure, again, you go to 929thegame.com, click that events link, and sign up right now. Do it today because spots are going fast. All right. As promised, I'm going to let you hear a little bit from Raheem Morris, what he had to say to the media yesterday as far as, one, getting you ready for the Falcons matchup with the Dolphins. Also, we'll let you hear him talk a little bit about Raven McLeod's release and if he thinks the Falcons need to add to the wide receiver room with McLeod gone. He also talks about Penix and some other things. But let's start there. Actually, no, let's start with Michael Penix Jr. because he feels good about Michael Penix Jr. right now, but he does say that they're going to monitor. Obviously, if they need to call upon Kirk Cousins, that's why he kept Kirk Cousins as a backup, because you know he can be capable and get the job done. And I especially would feel fine about Kirk getting a win against the Dolphins, but I do think Michael Penix Jr. will be good to go again. He said himself he feels like he's going to play, so I think we should be all good. But Raheem Morris also feeling good about Michael Penix Jr. Here's what he had to say about feeling good about Michael Penix Jr. right now, but they are going to continue to monitor young MP9.
I still feel really good about him. You know, he's the ultimate tough guy. You know, obviously, it's going to be based on movement. It's going to be based on what he can do, all the stuff that he has. You know, the organization will not put him in harm's way. We won't do that. So we'll get a better feel for when we practice in live and we're doing some of those things on Thursday, obviously, and Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and again, the Falcons did not practice yesterday, so didn't get too much of a idea of what Michael Penix Jr. would have been able to do, but they did list him as in their estimated injury report. They did list him as limited in practice, meaning he would have been, if the Falcons would have practiced, he would have been limited in practice. So again, I think he'll be good. But again, just depends on how things continue to play out as far as the rest of the week goes. But if I had to guess right now, and if I had to make a prediction right now, I would predict that Michael Penix Jr. is going to play. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. Now, let's talk a little bit more about Raven McLeod. Obviously, the Falcons announced yesterday that they released Raven McLeod, or maybe it was 2 days ago because we talked about it yesterday. Anywho, they have released Raven McLeod. And one, I want to let you hear two cuts of Raheem Morris talking about this. The first one just being on the release of Raven McLeod.
Yeah, just got to do what's best for the team every single week. Every move you make is in order to get you better, in order to have better results. And that's what we came to the conclusion as. And wished Ray nothing but the best. Provided us a lot last year. Had a great time with him. We had opportunities to be together. And I wish nothing but the best.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, no ill will or anything like that. And again, Raheem did say it was performance-based and wasn't anything as far as conduct or anything like that, but still did what he had to do to move on. And now that leaves us with the question, do the Falcons need to add to the wide receiver room? Again, If you look at the last two games, Bijan Robinson has done a good job and has filled that Ray-Ray McCloud hole and has run a lot of the routes that Ray-Ray would usually run and would have been running if he was in the game. So Raheem Morris asked yesterday if he feels like the Falcons need to add a wide receiver to the room with Ray-Ray McCloud now being released.
I mean, that's always something that we're looking for anyway. You know, like Terry and Kyle Smith and Ryan Price, they those guys are constantly scouring everything that we do, everything that's going on. You know, like to say that it has anything to do with the decision that happened with Ray-Ray, I can't say that's the case, but I can say that they're always looking, they're always talking, they're always doing everything in those ramifications. If anything ever gets serious, then it gets to myself and Terry making decisions and all the stuff that we have to do. But got a lot of confidence in the guys that we have in our football team. Got a lot of confidence in the guys that helped us play in the last couple of weeks to be able to go out there and get things done in even higher fashion than we have.
So sounds like the Falcons are pretty content with what they have internally, with what they have in-house, and that honestly doesn't surprise me. Again, I think they elevate somebody from their practice squad. Again, they continue to let Bijan be more involved in that receiving role and let him do a lot of the things that Ray-Ray McCloud was doing in the receiving game. So I don't know if they go out and add somebody. Again, maybe if the situation is right and if they think the fit is really right, maybe they'll do that. But I'm honestly not sure that the Falcons feel like they need to add anybody. So we'll see if they end up doing that or not. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews, by the way, here on a Thursday morning, getting close to wrapping things up here, but still got a few minutes left to talk to y'all about Falcons and Dolphins on Sunday. And look, as long as the Falcons defense does not let Devon Achane run rampant all over them like they let Christian McCaffrey do, I think the Falcons win this game. The Falcons run defense has to be better, though. Has to be, because Mike McDaniel, a guy who came and kind of went through this Kyle Shanahan tree, a part of that Kyle Shanahan tree, I bet you he's watched that game a few times. And he's like, oh, they couldn't stop Christian McCaffrey. We're going to put Devon Achane up to bat and see if they can stop him. So the Falcons better be ready to stop Devon Achane. And if they can do that, and if they can put the Dolphins in some obvious passing situations, I think they'll be able to heat up Tua and pressure Tua. And if you're able to heat up and pressure Tua, get him off his spot. He's not overly mobile. I'm not worried about Tua using his legs. And we've seen Tua will throw you the ball if you pressure him. You can sack Tua for sure as well. So you keep that running game in control of the Dolphins. I think this Falcons defense could have a very, very big day. To me, it all starts with stopping the run game, though. That's where it starts and ends. I think they can handle Jalen Waddle. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's not going to be out there. Darren Waller, they put Darren Waller on tight end. I'm not too worried about much any other of their receivers, if I'm being quite honest with you. You slow down Jalen Waddle. Well, first, you slow down Devon Achane in the run game. You slow down Jalen Waddle in the pass game. You'll be fine. And again, I'm making it sound like it's super easy. It's not going to be quite that simple. But to me, that's what it all boils down to. So we'll see if they're able to do that. Let's hear Raheem Morris talk about what he thinks the Dolphins present as far as challenges go. Here's Raheem Morris talking about the challenges the Dolphins present.
Very similar. You know, talking about a team that's got great speed. Very similar to the team we just played, obviously, because of Mike. Coming from that system, a lot of the similar stuff that they do on offense, great toughness on defense. You're not looking at a team that hadn't played everybody extremely tough. You know, I think they had one game they played poor, you know, very similar story to us. And they have a couple games they were right into it towards the very end. So, like, you're going to play against a National Football League pro football team that is very good and I know well-coached and I know can absolutely come out there and design something. They're trying to get wins every single day.
Look, the Dolphins are definitely good enough, to Raheem Morris's point there and what he's saying. The Dolphins are definitely good enough to beat you. Don't get that twisted. They're still an NFL team, so you still have to respect them as much. However, this Dolphins team has zero pulse right now. They ain't got a whole lot going for them. Their coach is seemingly on the hot seat. Maybe not. The media is trying to put him on the hot seat, but it seems like the owner is fine with him, which is great because, look, hey, keep him around because we don't want the Dolphins getting any type of, you know, new head coach energy and new head coach life, and seems like Tua's going to continue to start. So, look, keep all that the same, because they're 1-6 with what they've been putting out on the field right now, and we want to make it 1-7 and add a win to our win column. So I'm fine with that, but again, still, the Dolphins can't come out and beat you if you don't come correct, so the Falcons better come correct at home, and I think they will. One thing that has to change, though, as far as what happened last week and what has been going on at times this season, you got to score points. You got to score touchdowns. And the Falcons have not been good, one, just scoring the ball in general, and two, scoring the ball in the red zone to get specific. And, again, I'll give credit to Mike Johnson. He made this point. He feels like part of the reason why they have been so inefficient in the red zone and they've not been able to score points, you know, they've been getting all these yards, and they went down to number 7 in total offense after the 49ers game, but before that they were number 2 in total offense, and, you know, they were up there in rush offense, up there in pass offense, you know, they were getting all these yards but not scoring points. And Raheem Morris talked about that yesterday and said the disconnect in yards and points simply comes down to red zone play.
That goes back to the red zone disconnect, right? We talked about that at the bye. We came out of the bye. We was able to connect some of those things when we came out and played against Buffalo, when we played against D.C. So I think that's really translated to what we wanted to do. Last week, we did not play as well in the red zone as you want to play. We want to go out there and play better. So we'll get those things fixed again. We got on track in the previous two games, and this team went off track. And that would be a part of riding an emotional roller coaster, which we're not going to do. I do like the production and the things that we had coming out of the bye and some of the stuff that we talked about for riding the red zone roller coaster. But, you know, I'm not a big yard guy. Obviously, I'm not a big stat guy. But being in the red zone is one of those things that you definitely care about, because it scores points and produces.
Have to be better in the red zone this week. Have to be. You got to score points. You got to be able to put this team away. Once this defense gets stops, because I think they will get stops, you got to put this team away by scoring touchdowns. Don't keep them in the game by just kicking field goals. You got to score points. And you got to find a way to get consistency in the red zone, because, again, that's been a real issue for this team. One of the main issues for this team, you just have not been able to score in the red zone. You're getting all the points. You've been able to move up and down the field, move within the 20s, but just haven't been able to put the points on the board. Let's get one more in really quickly if we can. Let's hear Raheem Morris talk about if he thinks they need to change up the red zone scheme.
I don't. I think the red zone comes down to not getting negative plays. It comes down to making sure you can stay on track, and it comes down to execution of our game plan. And we'll do those things. We'll stay with that consistent flow. You can't have penalties down there. You can't have negative plays, and you got to find a way to keep it moving and get in the end zone. And when we've done it well, we've done it really well, you know, and that's what I'm really, really excited about. But, you know, obviously that's always something you can have an uptick. That's always something you can look at. That's always something you can lean on to go out there and get better, and that's what we look to do.
And he's right. When they have done it, they've done it really well. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about if you take the Commanders game, the entire Commanders game in the first half of the Buffalo game, they scored 7 touchdowns across 6 quarters. And you're thinking, man, okay, this offense done figured it out. Zach Robinson done figured it out, and this offense ready to take off. But then, second half of the Buffalo game and all the 49ers game, you scored 1 touchdown across 6 quarters. And then you're like, okay, maybe not. So, got to find consistency scoring points. Got to find consistency in the red zone. Got to stop. And then as far as defense goes, again, stop Devon Achane, neutralize Jaylen Waddle. Team will be just fine. We'll talk more about the Falcons and Dolphins matchup on a Falcons Friday coming up tomorrow. We'll recap Thursday Night Football a little bit as well and get into some other things across sports. World Series gets started tomorrow as well. By the way, go Blue Jays. We'll talk more about that coming up tomorrow on a Friday edition of Hometown Take. But coming up next, it is the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Allen Mack ready to entertain you for the next 3 hours. They're coming up next here on a Thursday edition of the morning shift. Coming up next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Appreciate you, Noel. Until I talk to y'all tomorrow, peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.